Rather remarkable that the first reading on this Saturday of the 17th week and the Gospel both talk about prophets who are killed or nearly killed. Jeremiah, as you just heard, we're now in chapter 26, the second part. Yesterday we heard about it. The resume of his preaching in the temple and saying, you come here and say, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord, and you think you're safe. Well, you're not. Either you obey God and you're at rights with him and you're safe, or you disobey God as you're doing and you're not safe. And the Lord will come and destroy this temple. Just go down the street and look at Shiloh. See what he did there because of your infidelity. Well, that didn't make him very popular. I've said before, just go down the National Shrine and try this. See how long before the cops come along. And now, you could be right, but this is what happens to a prophet. Now, he would do this, and he did it, out of love for God and love for his people. Now we have John the Baptist, who, seeing the role of a leader, Herod, committing adultery publicly, it was noticed in those days. Nowadays, it wouldn't be that much noticed, and challenging him, out of love for him and Herodias, but out of love for the people. This example should not go unchallenged. And so he did, and he ultimately cost him his life. Herodias always knew that as long as John the Baptist was alive, her position wasn't stable. Because you can see what a kind of superstitious person Herod was. Huh? It's the Baptist, talking about Jesus, it's the Baptist raised from the dead. That's why these powers are at work in him. That brings up, as Origen years ago already pointed out, I mean, this is the superstition and the fear. What happens when people die? Where do they go? Can they come back? You know, all that sort of stuff, you see? And that may be as far as this poor man's mind could go, or maybe as far as it, he would let it go. Here's this person preaching. Crowds love him. He's healing them. He's telling them about the Father. He could have had another explanation for this, couldn't he? He could have said, maybe God is at work in that man. But that would mean changing his life. And so he didn't do that. And then Matthew explains, you see why Herod would be feeling guilty, and because Herod killed him, John the Baptist. And so he'd have, you know, if Macbeth had many, or Hamlet had many a sleepless night, what about poor old Herod? So we have this picture. I was praying, you know, this is not a happy scene. Two great people who proclaimed the truth and got killed. Now, what can we learn from this? One, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. Speak the truth. Now, you may be out in the streets proclaiming something that's going to be against the law, like homosexual marriage, hate crime. You could go to jail if it comes to that. The bills are introduced. Or there's another way we can look at this. How open am I to a correcting word from the Lord? Do I want to kill a word that accuses me? You know, St. Augustine says, men love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. And I thought we could put this, you know, oh, look at how they killed Jeremiah, or nearly killed Jeremiah. Look how they killed John the Baptist. What about me? How many times have I killed the Word? Now, I wouldn't normally just say, God, I will not do that. Tough luck. I probably wouldn't do that. But I could just let it drift off, right? The Lord tells me something, and I say, yeah, yeah, I'm going to really pay attention to that. And then, of course, I don't. And I never intended to in the first place. So I resist the Word. I probably wouldn't kill a guy over it, but I resist the Word. Don't you? You see, the Word can challenge us. Every one of us right now in this chapel knows something the Lord is telling them. And I don't mean just, oh, well, make sure you say your prayers. I mean, there's something serious where we're out of order. We gossip. We hold grudges. We manipulate. We're trying to get our way in the community. We're doing all kinds of tricky little things. Or we've never forgiven somebody. And the blessed Holy Spirit is talking to us about these things. Right? And so, I think we should listen. It's not enough to say, look how terrible they are, they kill these people, when I kill the Word of God every day myself. So we're going to take a few minutes, we don't have a lot of time, and let everybody just pray in silence and ask the Lord to come and tell Him, before you do this, you see, that whatever you show me, I'm going to do. Commit yourself. You know, that reminded me of a beautiful line in Rashi, one of the great Jewish commentators of the 11th, 12th century in Europe. You know, when God says to Abraham, Abraham, this is the trial when he's told to offer up Isaac, right? Abraham, and Abraham says, Hineni, behold me. Which means, I'm at your, just what do you want? You know, whatever you want. And Rashi says, it is the sign of a man of God that he is ready to obey even before he knows what God wants. And that's what Abraham did, right? Hineni, I'm ready, whatever you want. So let's just take a minute and say to the Lord, Hineni, just show me. Show me where it is, huh? And you can be sure that the thing he's most concerned about is breaking down relationships. Wherever. In marriage, in the family, in the community, wherever. Through anger, through holding grudges, through overt criticism, through this subtle kind of political manipulation. We just talk to the right people and get the right people all on our side. So when it comes up, we're going to win. Whatever the win is. That's a sin. You know that. That's a sin against truth.